general curries, not like, you know, fancy stuff, right?
Oh, general curry. Yeah.
General curry. So, good point for doing so. That's like...
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Interesting Discussion Sometimes. Today, I'm back with the regular boys. That's Haran, Christian, and Harsha. And we have a very special guest. Vincent, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, you're a local irregular boy here.
Irregular, yeah, that's good.
We got the regular boys, and we got the irregular ones.
Yeah,
happy to be here, though.
Yeah, man, always a good time with you on. Do you want to reintroduce yourself to the podcast?
Yeah, sure. So hi, guys. I'm Vincent. I'm pushing my 30s, as we discussed before. I'm just a guy living in the DMV area. You know, going about my life, discovering my hobbies. And yeah, I'm a good friend of these regular boys here. So excited to be here and talk about what's going on.
Yeah, man. I'm ready for a great episode. You have a lot of stuff going on. So definitely want to just jump straight into it. Vincent, where are you from by chance? I actually don't know.
Yeah, like from, like born in or...
And like, what is your ethnicity?
Ethnicity. Like, where are you actually from?
Where are you actually from?
I was born in Detroit, dude. No. what's it called? So my parents are from China, like Guangdong, China. So like Southern, we're Southerners over there.
Mm. Okay. And what kind of, you guys have any like special celebrations? Maybe something that happened recently?
Special celebrations. Ooh, that's a good one. Mm. I mean, there was Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Classic. How's Thanksgiving in Guangdong? Is that a big celebration over there?
They love Hanukkah out there, don't they?
The Shanghai Sharks. Yeah, we're doing great.
The Guangdong Tigers.
Guangdong Tigers.
Wait, is that the actual team?
No, that's my team.
No way.
But it's also like, I feel it's like the meme team for like when NBA players are on their way out.
Is that what, what's his name? Who is the guy who went to the Shanghai Sharks and was trying to recruit everybody?
Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Is that where he's at now? I thought he...
I think he plays in Taiwan, which may be a whole different issue, but...
You can't be saying that.
let's bring it back.
So there's still one more
celebration festival that you haven't mentioned yet. You're getting close. You're getting warmer.
Yeah.
Ooh, am I?
You're really dragging this on, man.
All right. Let's look at the calendar real quick. What just passed?
The lunar calendar.
Oh, wow. You said so, man. Yeah. So we recently celebrated the Lunar New Year.
Whoa.
Woo! Yep. Yay.
Woo! Happy New Year.
Yeah. I feel like Lunar New Year has been like a really big part of your life recently, at least from my perspective. Do you want to talk about like what it is and like what it means?
Of course. So, I mean, a little like background about what Lunar New Year's means. It's a holiday that's celebrated in China and like parts of like Southeast and Eastern Asia that essentially signifies like the beginning of a new year according to the lunar calendar, right? And so it's huge over there. Like my mom always tells me about how they do like they take like 2 weeks off of school. It's like winter break in America. But like in China, it's that. And they just like shut down all the schools and businesses, and they're like just popping firecrackers and celebrating like all, you know, week. Right. And it's awesome. It's a time for people to come together. It's a time for families to celebrate with great food. And there's a lot of superstition involved as well, which I can get into a little bit later. But one of the things that has helped me to get a lot more connected with the holiday lately is my involvement with my lion dance troupe. So I joined that last year. So that's one really new thing since the last time we talked is me getting a lot more involved with lion dancing and then incorporating that into my Lunar New Year festivities and celebrations.
Yeah, branching off that, I don't know much about it, but I know my parents used to talk about it because they celebrated in Southeast Asia. In Singapore, which is in Southeast Asia, of course, and a lot of Chinese people there. So like, and they always say like it's a big celebration for like 2 weeks, I think, what they usually do, and like a bunch of food and snacks and money going around and all that stuff. But yeah, glad to hear your perspective.
Yeah, no, I mean, all that is true. The money is a big thing, right? Like, I think everyone hears about red envelopes.
Yeah.
So that's a really big tradition in the Lunar New Year, where it's typically, what do you guys know about like red envelopes, red packets, like how they get distributed? Like, what do you guys know?
You gave me one.
I don't remember the complete significance of it, but I know it has to do, I think, with like good luck, and it has to be, I think, some this, as you infer, there's something to do with reasoning of who gives it to who. I don't exactly remember what that is.
But wait, is it also the money inside can't like have to be like a certain like I forgot
denomination?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So all those like tie in, right? So. With the money that you're giving, so typically you're giving it, the money is like signifying like a blessing, you're giving it to like give good fortune to somebody, right? And so typically, and this isn't always true, but typically it's passed on from like older generations to younger generations, and typically like married couples are like, you know, supposed to be giving those out, so they give it out to you know, the younger kids, whoever that they want to give the blessings to. So you're not really like exchanging within the same generation. Like my aunts and uncles aren't giving red packets to my mom and my dad, but they're giving it to us, the kids. And so, you know, you...
Oh, that's how you're able to give me one.
Yeah, because you're my son. Because I'm pushing 30 and I'm like...
Oh, you're pushing 30, yeah.
Did you give Haran and the other kids in the orientation group them too?
Oh. I think he would have gotten broke if he did that.
Yeah. Literally. And yeah, I would have gone super broke, because like another thing is with the amount that you were talking about, right? So... with Chinese culture, it's very specific. I can't speak for like all the other ones, because I know it's big in Vietnam too, but they don't have a lot of the same reasonings for stuff. But for like the money that you put inside, it's very typical to just give like fives, 20s, whatever. But there are certain like lucky numbers. And those tie in because Chinese people love wordplay. Like, they're obsessed with it. And so a really lucky number is the number 8. Right. In like Cantonese, which is the language that my parents speak, 8 is ba, and it sounds similar, it like rhymes with the word for lucky or luck, which is fa. So you give like $8, you know, that's like a very like traditional thing. Like, if you want to like feed the lion, or like you're trying to receive a blessing, you want to give like $8, $888, $88, like, you know, incorporate that number into it. You can also have like other wordplay, like yesterday we received one which was like $108, which like Cantonese, yep, bat ling bat. And so it sounds like, you know, it just sounds like once lucky, like always lucky, that type of thing.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. They just like love that kind of stuff. So yeah, red packets.
I feel like even in Indian culture, well, I just want to say, like, I think in Asian culture generally, I feel like there's a lot of times where, like, there's things you do to pray for, like, money and prosperity, which I don't feel like in Western culture, they don't have that same, the same, it's not even, like, a value, but, like, that idea of praying for, like, money. But I think it's actually great. Yeah, like, why not pray for more money? Yeah, like, fuck it. We should all have more
money. You know,
money.
We're real. We're just real about it.
Yeah,
that,
we're just real,
know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think, what are some lucky numbers in like South Asian culture? I do know that like when my parents, like if we ever donate or if we're ever giving money, like even just for birthdays or whatever it is, it can never be like a round number. Like, it's never 100. It's like 101 or like 111 or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what the reason for that is. I'm sure it's like some sort of superstition, but I do think that's interesting that like, yeah, like, I don't know, something about Asian culture has like this idea, but not.
It's
not
so
anywhere else.
It's just stitched into our fabric somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like I never questioned it too. Like, go to the temple and like give a donation, and it's like I just like put it in without even asking. Like, why am I putting it like this amount, not like 10, like something? I don't know.
Yeah.
Every time me and my brother ask my parents these type of questions, they're just like, "Oh, this is just what we do."
And so they probably ask the same thing because
they don't know either.
Lost in time. It's one of those lost in time things.
Someone just like way back just like fucked around and did it and just said everyone do it this way. And then
somebody was like, I just want some extra change when I get some money. So like, let's add a one to everything. What made you decide to join like the line dance thing last year?
Oh, okay. So it goes along with another life update of mine, which is like I got my own place, right? Yeah. And in the process of getting my own place, my realtor showed up and he was wearing the like Choi Won uniform, which is the name of my lion dance troupe, right? And I'd never dealt with a realtor before, so I was expecting some dude in like a polo and like slacks and like, you know, fresh cut, whatever, like typical office looking guy. Right. But this dude showed up in like sweats and I was like, what is happening? It was like good because I was like, oh, this is chill. Yeah. But he showed up and then I was like, you know, what is all that about? And he was like, oh yeah, sorry about this. Like I just came from like a performance for this like line dance troupe that I'm in. And yeah, like we just finished up. So I didn't have time to change. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Oh, I get it now. You join the group so you get a better deal on the house. Oh,
exactly.
I got it.
Right.
Yeah. The long con.
And it worked. Scammed him.
The long con from Guangdong.
Boy.
Oh, God. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was great. It was, like, really serendipitous, right? Because he, you know, he helped me to get my house, and I cheated him into a really great rate. By telling them that I would join, and it worked, and now I'm stuck here. So
that's crazy coincidence. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It is. Yeah, I mean, the reason I even wanted to do it in the first place was like when I was a kid, one of the martial arts movies I watched growing up, like all the time. And I'm sure you guys have this too, where like you grow up and like maybe your family has one or two VHS tapes or DVDs that just play over and over again, right? So. One of those things became my personality, and it was Once Upon a Time in China, right? Mm. It's this movie about Jet Li, and he is playing like this legendary martial artist, like back in ancient China with like emperors and shit like that. But the movie specifically that we watched, because it's like a 5-movie series or something, was the third one where there's this huge Lion King competition, and there's just people like kicking each other, fighting. They have blades coming out of their lines and shit. And then, it culminates in this huge like competition where they're like climbing a tower and fighting each other to become the Lion King. And ever since I was a kid, I loved that movie. I would always like mess around with martial arts like at home and stuff like that. But this was my first like time really being that close to someone who did lion dance. And you know, he told me to join, and it seemed really like low stakes for me to do it. So I decided to go out and ended up being really fun. It's been life changing.
Of course, you love Lion King. You could join too.
Yeah.
You always talk about Lion King, actually.
Yeah, actually, the same, yeah.
Yeah, we could hold you up on top of a cliff.
And eat them off.
That's so funny. Yeah, so what is like your role in the troupe?
So within the troupe, like I am, well, it's like, a lot of us are basically, it's like members, right? Like we're a nonprofit and it's all volunteer based. So we all kind of go out and we're all on like kind of equal footing. There's the obvious like leadership role, which is like the director of the troupe, which is my realtor. We have our shifu who like teaches us all the martial arts and stuff like that. And then we have a couple of people who just like pick up certain leadership roles just during the, due to their experience. But for me, I'm like, and member, but I perform in all sorts of roles. So with the lion, right, there's two people inside of this like creature, there's a head and a tail. I've done both. I started off just shaking my ass. It was a great time. It's good for people. Oh, and then I decided
to join the lion.
Yeah, they actually found me at the club and recruited me. But yeah, so I perform both parts of the lion. I do instrumentals for it as well, which like I used to be terrified of any instrument. Like when they first asked me to touch the cymbals, I was like, please no.
Touch the cymbals.
It was awful. But I've gotten a lot more comfortable with
the cymbals are pretty hard to play though, I will say. At least when I was in percussion and shit. Like
I mean,
I was struggling.
They're like loud. So if you make a mistake, it's very obvious. Like if you're playing something soft, at least you can get away with like just doing it really lightly. The cymbals, you either play it loud or you don't play it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny story actually about my first time going out to a performance with them, right? So last year, obviously, I joined right before the Lunar New Year season started, but they wanted me to be involved as much as I wanted to be, right? So they told me to come out to this like news broadcast performance. And so it was like 5 a.m. We go out to the block and we're like filming this news segment. And they're like, hey, Vincent, you want to get on the cymbals? And keep in mind, like, even though I love the idea of line dance, I've never, first off, never line danced before in my life. And second off, never played the cymbals before in my life. I went to like two practices before that where like I had like listened to them play and they told me to get on and I tried, right? But I came out and I was like, I have no idea how to do this, but I'm going to be on live TV and they want me to be playing. So that's what they said, Vincent, don't worry about it. Just airplay. It'll look fine.
Airplay.
So like as in like don't actually play, but just like move the cymbals together, like lip syncing with cymbals, right? And so I thought I was doing a great job. And then you look back at the news broadcast and they always give me shit for this, but it looks so obvious because I'm not clapping on beat at all. And my movements are like so awkward compared to
like the monkey like carrying the
I was thinking the same thing.
Or it's like when you give your when you give a controller like a little brother.
Exactly. It was so bad. But yeah, like that's the cool thing about the troop, right? Is like you can join and be a completely new member and they'll be like, come on in, do as much as you want, right? So very like non-gatekeepy, which is rare in the realm of like passing on traditions, I think, in cultures. And then even within Chinese culture, like lion dance itself traditionally is very gatekeepy. Like typically a male-dominated sport. Our Shifu said that for him even, like, and he's a very talented guy, he wasn't allowed to be in the lion head for like years. He had to do like lion tail for like, I think he says like 12 years, which I think
was shit,
like, whoa. He was just never allowed to touch it because traditionally it was just like, you know, you really have to earn your spot, which is, I think it's a good change, right? Like we're modernizing, we're trying to get people into it. And like, you know, if you want to be there, then like, you know, throw yourself in there, but you know, get up to a certain level, right?
No, dude, that's really nice. I was even talking to someone recently about like a volleyball like intramural thing that she was part of, and like she was saying that like even just outside of like actual games, but like in practices and stuff, like different people with different skill levels are showing up to this you know, to practices, and there's just a lot of like judgmentalness from the people that are more experienced, and the people that are like less experienced are like, you know, they're intimidated because they're like, you know, I don't want to like play bad, but like it's just like it's like a lose-lose for both parties, right? But I feel like if everyone goes with the mentality of like, we're just gonna play and it'll be a good time and you guys will get better and I'm here to like help you, then I feel like it's like so much of a better experience for everybody.
Not for Haran. Haran doesn't like those things.
No, I was gonna say when I played volleyball, like I don't want to distract too much from Vincent's experience, but like when I'm playing volleyball, I am like freshman year of college. I was playing with Helen, who's been on the podcast before, and like she's played a good amount, and like our team, most of our teammates had a pretty good experience, except me. I probably played like just for fun in high school, and like almost from the get go, like I played like a couple. What are the terminology in volleyball? A couple. Rounds.
Points? Rounds?
Points. Yeah, points. Yeah, sure.
Points.
A couple innings.
But a couple points, and like I could just like see people like looking at me when I'm like going up to spike, or just my form was just ass, right? Like I couldn't set well. I couldn't really like, and like I was just like, after like two games, I was like, I told him, like, I don't want to come back, man. Like this is,
oh my god. It's one of those things too where like you're in and then like you'll know you messed up or something, and then all right, hey, get out.
Like in high school, we played like in this tournament, like a knockout tournament, and like my team won, and like, but like granted, we played against a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing either, so we kind of just like fluked our way to winning, right? So like, coming into this, like I think it was like not even the advanced level, I think it was intermediate or something. I was like, oh, okay, this would be like friendly but a little bit competitive, be fine. But like, nah, man, that was not the place for me.
Yeah, but like imagine you were on the other side, like you were the other people and it was like basketball or soccer, like imagine how like
but the thing is, like, I, like, again, when I joined my soccer team and I was, like, towards the lower end of the people on my team. Like, everyone was much better than I was. Like, I was just like,
I know, but I knew my imagine role, you're but, one of the people who is more experienced rather than like,
no, that I don't really care like that much. It okay. depends who I'm with, right? Like, that if I'm much? With like okay. if I'm with a bunch of people that I don't know, I'm not going to be judgmental. It's just like, if I'm people I know and like I know their level and like they're not performing, then I'll be more judgmental. I'm like, yo, you can do better than this, right?
Okay, but, like so if I play basketball with you,
yeah,
guys,
you're through any scenario, you're
no, but I feel you like, don't play I feel basketball, like, so that's not what I'm saying.
No, oh wait, to yeah. no, it would depend on the stakes, right? Because if we're at like a competitive court, then yeah. Haran's probably gonna sit you.
Yeah,
he's probably gonna sit me too. Whereas, like, if we're playing with like
no, well, Vincent, you actually play basketball. People. True doesn't play basketball. It's not a fair comp. I don't know.
But like, I feel like if we're,
I like to be competitive, but I like to be competitive with people that like with a group of people that I know and like I know like everyone's level of like what they can play at, right? Like, I'm not gonna be competitive with the people I don't know, where like I might also not be that good compared to them too. Like, it's hard to be like, I don't feel the right to be judgmental someone that I just met because I don't really know what level they're at. I don't know. That's what
this guy's a great capper.
That's not capping. That's true. That's how I feel.
hey, yo. They're going in on Haran today, bro.
I mean, I understand the overall thing because I've been watching a bunch of golf videos on YouTube, and like, I really want to get into golf. Mm. But the problem with golf.
Dude, I watched golf today too.
Oh, dude, Harsha, we're gonna start playing golf, man. We're gonna become old guys who play golf. It's gonna be great. Anyway,
his shoulder won't last that long, bro. Sorry.
Oh my, damn.
He'll be good. Damn, this is a rough session tonight. Yeah, anyway.
That felt too deep. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, sorry.
The problem with golf is that it's one of those, not even just sport, it's an activity that has like a lot of like unwritten rules and like etiquette things.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like, because I brought it up when we were talking about our upcoming trip, I was like, oh, I think it'd be really cool if we like, booked a tee time and just like went and played a round of golf, but like I think it would be fun for us. I don't know, like, what
watching around
the rules like if we just don't do something that you're supposed to do, like when you hit the ball, and obviously like a lot of the times you're gonna hit the ground too and you're gonna take a chunk of the ground out. Like, I didn't realize until like I was watching some videos today that you're supposed to put the piece of ground that you like hit out of the ground back where it's supposed to be. And like, you're supposed to like rake the sand if you like walk. I don't know. There's a bunch of weird shit like that. So I'm really scared to like actually try and go. It's the one thing to go like Top Golf or like go to a driving range where you can just go hit the ball, and that is fun. But like,
wait, so Happy Gilmore didn't show the golf etiquette correctly. That's my only.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, but as much as I idolize Adam Sandler, I don't think that that movie really.
Damn.
Displayed everything properly, but yeah, it's tough getting into situations where either people aren't as like understanding or they're not as totally like, I don't know, patient.
Yeah, or just like, yeah, more traditional or like more experienced. Yeah. Like, people have that mindset where like they look down on people who don't know, rather than like seeing it as an opportunity to like get them to speed, right? Mm-hmm. Which like I feel like happens all over the place, like not just in like sports, line dance, like just all over the place. There are people who are like, you don't know the unwritten rules. Like, I'm bad. It's like a super
exactly. I feel like even the workforce too. I feel like I'm running people like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's the thing with this sort of thing is like, if you don't take the time and are like patient with somebody, like they're not ever going to learn the right way or like the way that it's supposed to be done, like traditionally or anything like that. So like, if you just keep that same mindset, like over time, there's just, you're going to run out of people that will know.
And then if anything, you're contributing to the downfall of like whatever you're trying to create.
Yeah. Shame.
Yeah, facts. I think this is important to talk about because like, especially for me growing up, I like realized that I was already like shy, like pretty shy growing up. And so that would already deter me from like, I guess like trying new things or like going to sports or doing whatever. But then when I did actually like go through with it, or my parents made me do it, and then I still got shit on for like it being my first time doing any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like so demoralizing.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Now that I think about it, I'm like, dude, I should have just stuck with it for like just a bit longer. But yeah, it's kind of a waste. Yeah.
Dude, parents are like very interesting because like, I feel like some parents kind of go into it and they're just like, just be a parent, right? Like, and then some people have that understanding like, oh, I have to be a teacher, right? Not every parent goes in with the teacher mindset. Like, my parents, definitely not that way. And so kind of sucks because they don't realize like, oh shit, like I'm just a kid. I don't know anything. I need you to like kind of tell me what's going on and like get me up to speed. Like my parents would just be like, Vincent, when are you going to start cooking around the house? I was like 13. And I was like, I don't want to. Last time I tried to do something in the kitchen, I like made a fire in the hole in the ground.
Fire in the hole.
Fire in the kitchen. Oh, shoot. That should be the name of my chicken dish. Oh,
whoa. Yeah, going back to line dance. Yes, like, do you want to talk about some of like your more significant performances? I know there's a couple that are like honestly kind of insane. So yeah, I'd love to hear about it.
Sure, sure. So before I say that, let me just quickly, because I don't think I've had a chance to say like what the significance behind line dance is.
Sure.
With the Lunar New Year, so just like a like one sentence spiel would be that the line dance is meant to sort of bring good fortune, good luck to the crowd, and drive away evil spirits. Right. So it's tied to like old tales or whatever about like how lion dance was formed, but at the end of the day, that's what it is like meant to bring good fortune to people. So it's something that you see a lot during Lunar New Year, because like obviously you're celebrating, you're trying to come into the new year with good luck and get rid of all your old shit. But you see it throughout the year too, because we don't just stay active for Lunar New Year season. We're there for weddings, grand openings, a lot of different celebrations where you'd want to sort of bring good fortune to the people who are being celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. So to go into that from like what kind of events we've been doing throughout the year, obviously been invited to a lot of weddings, which is super fun. Been there for some graduations at local schools, which is really nice. And then the Lunar New Year season really picks up and we're at a lot of different places. So been brought out to a bunch of elementary schools for assemblies, right? Where we teach the kids what's going on. We have them come up and like get into the lion to see what it's like. And then we've had the privilege to be invited to a lot of cool places. So VMFA, for example, in Richmond, they like brought us down for family day. Got to meet a ton of people down there. And then I think our most significant one, which honestly is like my life's peak, is we've been invited to the White House twice now.
Twice.
Yeah.
Twice is more than Trump. Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Wait, hold
You're
on.
You're not going to be able to say that for much longer. Hey,
Wait, before you get into the White House, just like out of curiosity, like, how does the networking work for like these events? Like, is it on like your leader of the group, or like everyone in the group is just like reaching out to see like what performance you guys can get into?
So, okay, the troupe exploded in the past year. Like, before the past, like, 10 years that it's been around, it was a core group of people, and they used their business connections, right? Like, it was, like, 10 to 15 people, and they're all involved in different industries, of course. But they use their connections to people in the area to, like, get around and do performances. But in this past year, we've almost doubled in size with a lot of new people. So it opened us up to a lot of different, like, new types of events. So it's just like people that we meet, for example, like the performance that I had today at, DuPont, right, in DC, it's, we were invited out by, this lady who runs like Chinese Street Market, which is like another nonprofit in DC. They make food, they teach like cooking classes. And so me and Emily went to one of her cooking classes. We loved her. She was awesome, super nice. And then I saw her at a farmer's market randomly, like a couple of weeks later, right before the Lunar New Year season last year. And I told her, hey, like, I just joined a lion dance troupe. Like, I know you really care about like Chinese culture and stuff like that. Would you like us to come out for a performance? And so that's how it all starts. It's just like we have this connection and understanding, like, hey, we all want to be able to like celebrate and bring our celebrations to, you know, the diverse culture in the DMV in, you know, a really fun and exciting way. So that's how it starts. Like we just have that connection. They, you know, talk to us about what they want, and then we schedule it with them.
Nice.
For the White House itself, that one was crazy because we got like an email last year about like 3 or 4 days before they wanted us to come out.
What the hell?
crazy turnaround. It was insane. We had like everything booked out for like months, right? Like we had our whole week planned out. We were doing things from like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., like all day performances. And then, you know, we get an email from the White House, which you like can't ignore. Like, you look at that, you're like, what is this for real? Like, am I getting scammed right now? But you know, we took that email and we said, we're going to move everything around. We're going to get people to cover for this, this, and that. Like, we're not going to like miss this opportunity. And, they literally found us because they were looking for a local troop and we had just created our website for our 10-year anniversary. So luckily for us, like our website put us on the map and they decided to invite us out and, we put on a crazy show for them and, had a really great time with the organizers. So they decided to invite us back again this year.
So sick.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Joe Biden?
I did. I have a picture.
Was he awake?
Instagram. He was surprisingly. I mean, his back was turned to me for most of it. So I don't know. I don't know what during that time, but
they're changing his batteries.
What was he like?
I was winding the little key on his back. Nah, I mean, it was chill. Like, we only get so much like alone time with the president and the first lady. Like, they come in, greet us, and then they're like, okay, we'll see you later. Thank you. So we get to take a picture and then they're gone. For last year's performance, I like stood a little bit behind him. So I didn't get to really interact, but I got to stand there and like see. So it was cool.
No, I mean, I would count that. Isn't it weird to think that like you essentially met one of the most powerful dudes in the world?
Mm-hmm. Pretty crazy.
Like, it is crazy. It's like, but the thing is, like, at the same time, it's not like I was there to like change the world. Like, I didn't change policy or like get to talk to him and be like, oh, here's my thoughts on anything, right? Like,
we didn't get awareness to a cause, exactly, to a festival, which is important, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. The performance itself was life-changing. Like, it was really awesome to be able to like put ourselves on the map and to put like Chinese culture up there on the map as well. And the people that come to the celebrations to get to ask us questions and learn a lot. I mean, it was really cool, but it's also like one of those things where like after it happens, I kind of don't think about it too much, right? Like, it's just like another day. It was like meeting a celebrity where like in New York, I feel like you guys have had those things where it's like, oh shoot, it's freaking, I don't know, some YouTuber walking around the streets. Yeah, this dude is crazy. But you see him and then like life just continues going, right? Yeah, because it's like beyond like that one interaction, it's not like he's having like a crazy, I mean, he has a crazy influence on the world, but like nothing has really changed about my day to day in terms of that. So
no, that's just really like fair. Keep on trucking. I think I was more so mentioning because I'm just thinking about like the amount of like dominoes and things that need to line up for that to happen. It was so crazy. The fact that like you were thinking about buying a house at this time and the guy, the realtor was like wearing his troop like merch or whatever. Yeah. Like that leading to you meeting the president is such a weird connection of events. Is just crazy to think about.
It's so awesome. It is crazy like what Lion Dance has done for me. Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, I really appreciate it for what it is. It's a lot of fun.
Do you think there's anything that you learned about yourself after doing this? Or like maybe you surprised yourself in some way that like, oh shit, like this is me now.
I think something that I've learned about myself through like the art of line dance is just, I think I have realized that, it's kind of okay to be, uncomfortable and like not happy with, sort of like where you're at. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause that's the feeling that pushes you to continue to be better. And that's how I felt with like picking this sport up where everyone around me has been doing it for 10 plus years and they're all so talented. Right. Mm-hmm. And I come in and every day, like, I think I make like really big leaps and then I look around and I'll be like, damn, these guys are still so good. Like there's still so much I need to fix, but, changing and flipping my mindset from like thinking about stuff that is challenging or like, you know, areas of improvement as like, you know, demotivators. Now it's easier to take a look at them and say like, you know, this feeling of discomfort, this feeling of dissatisfaction, it's the thing that drives me to remove the dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. It drives me to be better. And so that's something I've learned about myself is just being able to go through and continue improving, continue changing, and small things every day will lead to big leaps in your ability to do stuff.
I like that. That was good.
Thanks.
I'm gonna write that shit down. I feel that's true though. It's hard to like zone in on yourself and focus on yourself, and like everyone around you is like flourishing and like seems to be doing a lot better. Like, it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I think that's the big thing about your 20s and like probably your 30s too, but 20s, like people are in so many different stages of their life, right? And it's okay to like take that and like understand like, oh, maybe I'm dissatisfied a little bit with where I'm at. But yeah, like you can take those feelings and understand too that what you're doing in your life is fine, but use that to motivate yourself to keep doing better too, right? Like, don't just like sit with it and then decide like not to do it.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely like a thing that you have to practice. Like, it's not just like a one day mindset switch, but like you have to remind yourself of it over and over again.
Right. Yeah.
So like keeping on the Lunar New Year theme, like outside of the line dance, which obviously is an integral part, especially to you now, like what are the other like things you look forward to at Lunar New Year? Because like my cousins, they're half Chinese, and so like their mom always does like a bunch of like, they make like a bunch of I think moon cakes, you know, like the red bean cakes and all that kind of stuff. And like their grandparents also sent a couple years ago like some really good like rice dumplings and stuff. Like, what are the other types of things you look forward to in like a new Lunar New Year celebration outside of the dance?
Yeah, so I mean, food is a huge thing in the Lunar New Year celebrations. Like, whenever I go back home, like there's just a feast waiting for us. So typically with my family, like things that you'll see around the table, like you have to have noodles. Noodles are really important because when you have like long noodles, it signifies like a long life. So whenever we go, like my mom is like, whatever you do, make sure you eat like at least a little bit of these noodles, because it's, you know, just superstition, right? But we have some of that. It's like a glass noodle type of deal with some vegetables. It's nothing like, you know, it's not like ramen or anything like that, but it's still really good. And then some other stuff that we have too. I mean, there's foods that like have meanings, but for me, another thing that is really classic in my family is like this, like the Chinese, what is it called? Like a pullet chicken or something like that. It's like a different breed of chicken that's a little bit sweeter, but they typically cook it and then you eat it like cold. Like the chicken is like cold and you're meant to like put like this ginger scallion, like oil sauce on it.
Yeah.
And that's really good too. That's like a, that's like a staple for me when I think about Chinese New Year.
I feel like my extent to it was like my mom, would talk about like pineapple tarts and like peanut cookies. I don't know. Maybe that's like more of a Singaporean Chinese like tradition, but those are like some of the like the sweet snacks that they would have.
When they celebrate there. Yeah. Sweet snacks are always like really good too. In Chinese culture, they say like, you know, you want to try to start your day with something sweet so that you have like a sweet day or whatever. So I can totally see that like tying into like Lunar New Year's too. I mean, it's just a treat. It's just good too. So it's nice to have. Another thing actually that I think about too is we have this thing called like the like New Year's cake, which is like just this it's like almost like a sticky jelly type of thing. It doesn't look like it's not cakey in the way that you think about American cakes. It's just like this it's just a big like slab of like jelly-ish stuff. But you have it and it's like first off, it's sticky to kind of signify like, you know, sticking together with your family, with your community, that kind of stuff. But then also it's called Nian Go, which translates to like, you know, year cake, new year cake. But then with the wordplay thing that I was talking about too, is that it also ties in with like, you have Nian Go so that you can Nian Go Sing, which means like every year, like you continue to go higher, or you like, you know, like you have more blessings, you get promoted, your money goes up, that kind of stuff. So a lot of the food that we eat like ties in with like the wordplay. Like, if you're eating something, it's because it sounds like something else too.
That's super interesting.
Is there any significance with, I guess this year's Year of the Dragon? We're born in Year of the Tiger. I don't know when you were born, Vincent. I don't know. Like, is there any significance 30, for
so a little further away from the tiger?
Yeah, for that animal, and like what expectation for the year is going to be like, or like what or is there anything to
that? Oh, is this like a forecast, the New Year's forecast?
Yeah, like, or like what is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the year of the dragon, right? So when you think about the Chinese zodiac or the Vietnamese zodiac, right? Like of all the creatures, the dragon is the only one that's like mythological or like, you know, fiction. And so the meaning behind that, like first off, the dragon in Chinese culture was kind of like this creature that was meant to bring like water to your crops. They were life-saving, right? And they grow so much rice in China. So water is a really big deal. If you don't have water, your rice is not going to grow. And so the dragon was like this creature that was revered above like all else. When it comes to the year of the dragon, it's that mythological creature. It's like unreal. So it's meant to be a very like auspicious year in the sense that, you know, you should be able to achieve like things that are greater than like usual, that type of deal. Right, like reach above what you think is possible. So, should be a very lucky year. Take advantage of it while you can.
What was the name of the American dragon again? Sorry, this is completely on topic. I'm just trying to think. do you guys know the name of the American dragon?
I can't Jake remember. Long?
Jake Long. Jake Long. Jake Long. Sorry, that was sick in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting that like I never made that distinction in my mind that was the only one that was fictional out of all of the other ones.
Dude, me neither. Yeah. I got all this from my Shifu talking about it at these assemblies, bro. That's like, I literally learned about it this year. It was great.
Yeah, that's all I really want to say. I just never put that together. I think it's interesting that they chose that. Clearly, it's obviously like a very, yeah, like they chose it because it is special, right? So, yeah.
Dude, I mean, if you asked me this the same time last year, like what is Year of the Dragon going to bring? I'd be like, I don't know. It's a good time. So I'm just lucky too that like since I'm involved with this, I get all that educational experience too. Like I hear it from my chief, I hear it from our director. And so it helps me to get more immersed too in my culture.
Have you been passing all this knowledge to your parents or like showing off to your parents or they?
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. So the whole thing with like parents not being great teachers all the time is like, you know, growing up, I wanted to be a little more involved in my culture, but I think my parents kind of were like, eh, whatever. You're like Americanized. You don't really like, you don't really care. So they'll just do stuff. Yeah. But they never explain it. Right.
Yeah.
So we would do all this like stuff. Like we would do like ancestor worship. We had an altar in the house and we would like pray to it and stuff, but they didn't explain what we were doing. They just said, all right, come here, get on your knees and bow three times and then get out of here.
Yeah,
I had so no similar. Idea like oh why God, we were doing it.
Yeah,
right. It was just come do it and then go. And now that I've learned it, like I love calling my mom and telling her like, hey, like this is what I learned at Lion Dance today, and then she'll elaborate. And so like that's been really cool for me too.
And then you're like, why didn't you give me the same respect when I was like 10 years old?
Literally, I'm like, why didn't you ever tell me this? And she'll go back and be like, she'll rewrite history. She'll be like, oh, you know, I always told you, but you never listened.
Like, man, that's so real, bro. What you just said, I related to that so hard.
Yeah, right?
The feeling of just coming to you got to be up at like 9 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to start this puja. You got to come downstairs. You got to just sit here. Mm-hmm. And then you sit there for 30 minutes or 40 minutes or 2 hours. And then I'm just like sitting there. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm just waiting for the food after. And then I'm like, okay, fine. We'll go back upstairs. So it's such a meaningless thing for me. But it could be so much more.
It could be so cool. Yeah. Right.
It is interesting though, that like, even though it kind of sucks that like you didn't get to learn about it when you were growing up, that like now, like being able to learn about it on your own, it doesn't make it better, but like it gives you a more fulfilled experience about like having experienced it firsthand without having all the knowledge beforehand. So it could be, I mean, it's not necessarily better, but it is interesting to like get all of your information like firsthand,
I guess. No, that's true, right? Because then you rather than your meanings behind or like your feelings around those traditions being tied to like what people have told you,
right?
You are building your own like meaning behind it. So
yeah,
that is pretty. I guess like for Tarun, like, do you feel like being really involved with like Harsh's wedding gave you a little bit more like background into some of those traditions?
I mean, a little bit. Like even with my brother's wedding, I think I learned a lot at my brother's wedding. Like the thing, like just the way that these traditions go. Because like if I was back in India, I'm sure I would have gone to like hundreds of weddings over the course of my life. But since we're here, I'd only been to like maybe one or two like family friends ones. And those are the ones where you like, you literally just show up for the food and then you dip after like the ones where like me and my brother would drive in a separate car so we could just leave. So like being on the other side of it, we're like actually planning the wedding, and like, you know, what was great about like Harsha's wedding and my brother's wedding is like you got those cards where it described like what each of the events was.
Yeah.
When we were making the cards on Canva, like we were like, obviously like my whole family was in the same room and we were like talking about what to write essentially. And like, it was interesting to hear, like from their perspective, like, oh, what the fuck actually is this? I will say, I don't think I had that mindset about my culture until like pretty recent, I guess, in my life, like maybe midway through college is when I felt like, oh, like I actually should like know all this stuff, like, or, and I want to know all this stuff. And then growing up, I was like definitely in the mindset like, oh, like whatever, like I'm just here because I have to be, like I don't really like care that much.
Yeah.
And also there's a bit of like a feeling like, you know, we American, like, you know, this is like whatever. But like now I'm like, literally what I feel like is so important is that like, this is what sets me apart from like most of the people here, right? It's like my culture and my background. So like, I should really be involved in it. But then, yeah, then there's like this part where it's like, now I'm interested, but my parents are like, kind of like, yeah, like whatever, you don't care. So I'm like, I'm trying to bring that back in a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's a slow process. It's not like it's going to stop. And yeah, like I think what's good is that you're like, you're showing actively that you can still be involved in this. Like, I don't know what that looks like for me yet, but if I really want to be, I can do it for myself. So.
No, I think that's really cool. Like the 20s is a lot about discovery. And part of that is like rediscovering your culture, maybe stuff that you just missed, like growing up as a kid. And it was really discouraging for me in like kind of my mid 20s, my like quarter life crisis era. But I've come to really embrace it in like these later years. Where, you know, it's really a good time to just like do it, just like start it now. Cause I get to look back at this in however long and be really happy that I did it. Mm-hmm. Right. And, come away with these experiences too. So,
you know, absolutely. I think I also realized like ever since I moved to New York, like this was like really like the first time that I had like started to like cook for myself or do things for myself. Right. And like, as part of that, I'm asking my mom like a lot about like, oh, how do you make that? And I think I realized that a lot of our culture is not just like the religious, like these, like you have to sit down at the altar and do this, this and that, but it's also like the food and this and that, like, oh, there's a lot of different ways that you can be involved in a culture. And I think just like the way that I talk to my mom when she's like teaching me about how to make things, I think I can just tell from her voice that she feels very like, in a way, like proud that I'm like learning it and I'm like excited to do it. And like when I make something like really good that like my mom like would make for us growing up and stuff, and I send her a picture, she's like, wow, like looks so good. You got to like make it for us when you're back, which I haven't heard, won't, because, you know, like
going home is like, yeah, my parents always say that shit too. I ain't falling for that. Yeah, I ain't falling for that judgment immediately when they start tasting my food. But, it might look good, but it definitely don't taste as good as she makes it.
Well, also the thing with my mom is like, if I'm in the kitchen and I'm like, let's just say that I was like embarked upon making a meal for the family, she'd be like, no, why are you doing it like that? Give me the knife. Give me this.
Yeah.
Let me do that. Oh, bro, what is even the point of me being here? Why do you care? But yeah.
Backseat chef.
Dude, my mom's such a backseat everything, but it's fine. Anyway.
Dude, wait, that's so real what you just said about like making like food and then like sending it to your parents. Yeah. I feel like I've gotten really into that.
Yeah.
Ever since I started living alone, where it's like, yeah, I made all this food. I need to prove to my mom that I'm not just eating out every day. Yeah. I think if I don't send it to her, she just assumes.
She believe
like,
that, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, oh yeah, he's just eating like McDonald's or something. It's like, what the fuck? Nice. Wait, Tarun, so I guess like what are some of the dishes that you've tried to like learn recently, or like some things that you've kind of picked up and gotten really good at?
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, well, I guess like the thing that started all of this was like dal, which is like essentially like a lentil curry, which you can just throw a bunch of lentils in the Instapot, throw some tomatoes, garlic, and like green chilies, and that's literally it, and it tastes great, or in some like Indian spices. And then after that, I was like, yo, like I could actually like, I could cook. So then I asked my mom, like, yo, how do I make like butter chicken, but paneer or whatever. And she's like, yeah, you ain't got the skills for that. So then I just So then I just made it myself, and I mean, like, I followed a recipe. I didn't just like.
Nah, you came up with it on the spot.
I didn't will it out.
Toon invented.
Yeah.
I didn't make butter for it. But it tasted like, I was actually so amazed at myself because it tasted so similar to hers. And then as soon as I sent her that, she was like, oh, you know what? Like, I will tell you, like, you're good enough.
You passed the test.
Yeah, you're valid.
Yeah, you earned it, yeah.
Yeah, so like, I guess like one of the ones is called like egg pulsu, which is like a... It's like a very slow cooked egg dish where you like boil eggs and you cut like slits in them, and then you put it in like a tomato onion based curry, and you just kind of let it sit there, and it kind of simmers in like the tomato water essentially for a long time. And it's a bit more like sour than it is like spicy. It's kind of tangy, but that one felt really good because it's like, I don't know, something about like eating that on like a Saturday morning is just like a vibe. So
so like the egg becomes like really juicy essentially, or like, yeah, infused with that like tomato.
Exactly. Flavor. Yeah. The eggs essentially become like red and like orange ish color because like once they sit in there for a while, it kind of just soaks it all up.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Harsha also been making a lot of, you guys make a lot more like general curries, not like, you know, fancy stuff, right?
Oh, general curry.
Yeah.
General curry. So, good point for doing
that. That's like got to be the new place at Owens.
General curry.
Oh, man, the Chinese and the Indians are combined.
The Seoul curry war.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, Harsha, you've been making curries at home with
Amrita? Yeah. It's easier when there's somebody else there too. So, yeah, we just kind of look online and do stuff. She does a lot of cutting. We actually didn't cook anything this week, which is really nice. It was so nice to have the free time. Yeah, but
yeah, and all the dishes,
nothing
man.
Spectacular.
The dishes. Oh, man. The dishes is the worst part. After you get so tired of cooking, and you're like looking at the dish and you're like, fuck me.
Dude, I made like the simplest thing today for dinner. I made like chicken and potato like quesadilla, right? Super simple. I have like 8 dishes piled up just with like random shit that I have to use to store like all my ingredients. It's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like cooking curry is pretty simple, honestly. Not, I won't say simple. I feel like I'm doing disservice, but like it's always mostly the same base.
Yeah,
and then you just maybe change a couple of ingredients here and there. That's what I learned. I kind of wanted to try more Asian cooking. I think that'd be more interesting for me. So that's my new goal for the next month.
Me too.
Try more.
It feels a lot more nuanced. I think I get scared with cooking things that are supposed to come out more liquidy in texture, like curries, sauces. Like those scare me because I'm so like I haven't built up that intuition yet. Like when to stop cooking it so that it doesn't evaporate.
That's fair. I feel like even I don't really know that fully. I mean, half the shit I cook is just thrown in an Instapot anyway, so like I just press a button.
That Instapot, bro.
Yeah, like, I love the Instapot.
I don't really know the intuition either. I just like as soon as it gets in like a little dry, I just add more water just randomly. Whatever. I think when I first started cooking, I was like trying to follow exactly to like what my mom was telling me, and then after that I could be her, like her, and just looked at it and be like, okay, I need to add this or this, and just like if it usually it's okay, it doesn't really matter that much. At the end of the day, you're the one eating it, so as long as you like the taste, it doesn't really matter. That's what I've learned.
So what have you made, Harsha?
What have I made? Yeah, I mean, stuff that Tarud said, so Haran said, but like it's nothing special. I don't think anything stands out recently. We tried to make one thing that's not Indian and one thing that's Indian. So last week we made potato cauliflower curry, and then for lunch we made noodles and some chicken. Yeah, so
solid.
Do you guys have a default meal yet? Like something where if you feel lazy, whatever, you're like, this is what we're gonna make.
Mostly it's like, let's just not cook for one of the meals, and then for the other one it's just like spinach dal and like some basic Indian curry.
You should learn dal, bro. I'll send you, I got my mom's recipe, bro. I'll just send that shit to you
if you have Instapot. Send that shit,
dude. That is the ultimate lazy meal. You need to get one, man. I'm surprised.
Yeah, you don't even need any spices for dal, really, that many.
Like, yeah, you need, like, turmeric and paprika, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing, too, right? Like, I feel like I need to build my spice category.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing you need to do if you want to, like, start cooking Indian food. Yeah. At least that's why I never did it when I was at Stanford, because, like, there's just no point. Like, yeah. I'm only here for a little bit. Like, it would just take a lot of, like, investment to, like, build everything I need. And then as soon as I got here, like, my mom came with me and we went to the new store and we bought every single thing I needed. And then I'm, like, stocked for a long time now, yeah. Which is good.
But I'd be down, Tarun. You send me that recipe, you know, I'm going to look for that.
But I'm literally not even joking. It takes you maybe 12 minutes. Like, good. You just throw it in one dish, bro. One dish. You don't need anything else. You don't even need a spoon, really, to mix it. You can just
use
your finger.
Dude, save me from these dishes, yeah, bro. I need help. The house is being invaded by dirty dishes. It's crazy.
Speaking of your house, though, that is something new since last time.
That is true.
How has it been being a homeowner? I know, actually, I think there is a good story of you. There's something related to the balcony, right?
Oh, my God. No, not the balcony, bro. Oh, God. Being a homeowner has been very humbling, I would say. Because you live in college for a while, right? Like, some people get to move out and move away. And I got to do that when I went to Virginia Tech. So, I mean, being a homeowner, I thought would be like a piece of cake, right? I've lived without my parents before, so I should be able to do it. But it being your own place and you having to really make every decision and be responsible for everything is so much like higher stakes, right? Mm-hmm. So we came in, my parents didn't like the carpet, so we decided to rip it all up. I mean, obviously I didn't like it either, but we decided to rip it all up. I can think for myself sometimes. But we were like, okay, let's just rip it all up and let's install hardwood. But that was a long process. Mm. And then after everything was hardwood, I realized, like, oh shit.
I was like, I don't like hardwood. I don't like
having. Yeah, I was like, oh shit. Because I was like, I need soft places to walk around. Yeah. So then I had to decide on rugs. And then Emily was giving me shit because she was like, she was giving me pressure. I think good pressure in the sense that, like, hey, you know, don't like furnish it like a college guy. Like, you need to really think about it.
Yeah. Now do an Emily like, voice.
Yeah, right?
Vincent!
Yo, that scream is too big. She's going to yell at me for that one. Yo, but literally, deciding on rugs was like a huge deal for me. Yeah. I spent so much time trying to like find rugs that like match the aesthetic I'm going for, which I was like, why do I care about this? But then I was like, I don't want it to look like shit because it's also my place. Mm. So that took a while. And then one of my most humbling experiences of all is that I live on a third floor condo, right? And so my balcony, it's really nice that I have one. But for some stupid reason, it has one of those things where like you can lock yourself out, right? Like it's like those doorknobs are on the inside. You have the little flippy thing on the doorknob.
I don't like where this is going.
Yeah. So I like, how many, you guys all know this story or is it just a
real? No, I don't know the story at all. But I don't like where it's going.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's so funny. So like, dude, it's so dumb. Oh, I go out there. And I had taken a break from being on my balcony for a while. And keep in mind, this is like, by the time I get out and this happens, I've been a homeowner for months, right? So I've been here. But I open the door and it's one of those things where even if it's locked, the inside doorknob will still turn normally. Like sometimes if you lock a doorknob, it'll like, you know, won't let you
get stuck.
But for a stupid reason, this one lets you open it. And so I go out there with the door being like, the door switch is locked. I close the door behind me. Because I was just checking on something. And then I come back in, or I try to. And it's fucking locked. And here's the thing. I'm on the third floor. How am I supposed to like get – I can't get off of my balcony, right? And there's nobody else in the house at this point. The house is empty. So I'm like, what the fuck? How do I get back inside? Because when you're on a third floor balcony, you're like – your only real option is like jump off.
Yeah.
Like break.
Can you jump
into
to
house.
The second floor balcony and then jump down to the first floor balcony? That's awesome.
I was ready to. That was how close I came to like just like freeing myself. Yeah. But the worst part about that is to come into my building too, there's like another set of like locks. Like there's no code. It's not updated so where you can get a code.
Yeah.
So like even if I did that, I couldn't get back into that place. And I didn't have a spare key at my parents' house. And to get a locksmith, I don't know if they would have been able to unlock the front door before they even get up to my door to open it. So I was so blown. I was
puzzled. Your phone on you at this point or
lost. No? Yes. So luckily for me, I had my phone.
Dude, if you didn't have your phone, what the fuck?
Dude, yeah. you would have to jump at that point. You would have to.
No, you'd have to break a window, I think. Or
I would have, yeah. I was like prepared to like kick my door down, I think. But the worst part was like I went and did all that literally like right before I was going to go out and get like coffee and food. Because like I had been working all morning. I didn't have anything to eat or coffee. Mm-hmm. And I got to a stopping point. So I was like, let me go check on something on my balcony and then I'll head out. So by the time I got out,
eating out again, are we Vincent? Tell your mom. Huh? Is it
eating out?
Mom, if you're listening to this, I was totally lying about the eating out. But yeah, so I was literally at peak hunger and tiredness, and damn. I get stuck out there, and I was just like, I tried to weasel my way into my apartment again, like by using the card trick, sticking the door jam. And after a while, I literally felt myself get so weak that I couldn't like do it anymore.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh my God.
I can't do this.
Oh man.
So I laid down and I was like resigned to like what was happening to me until
until your savior flew down from the sky.
She actually came in on a ship. My cousin was living with me at the time. And so that's why I didn't have a spare key at my parents. Because my cousin was my roommate. She had my spare keys. And she was literally coming back from a cruise that day.
Wow.
And so she came back like 3 hours later. So I've been on this balcony for 3 hours.
Oh, holy shit.
And she opens it for me and I'm like, thank fucking God. And I go and get food and coffee. And they're like, it was embarrassing. It was really embarrassing. But like, I have a good relationship with my cousin. Yeah. So it's whatever. She understood.
Did she laugh at you?
Oh, yeah. She laughed. She's like, you stupid idiot.
I can imagine the person at the coffee shop being like, have a nice day. You'd be like, bro, shut the fuck up. You don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
So, yep. Being a homeowner really humbles you. Yeah. But I'm doing great now. I mean, yeah. You know, I've learned that lesson. I've only locked myself out one more time. So it's like.
It's annual tradition.
Annual tradition.
Yeah, so I've had the honor to go to Vincent's place pretty recently. I think last month. And
yeah.
The interior decor is fucking nuts, man. I'll say that you've done a really good job with the place.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I'll say also, you have like a super cool. I guess like the last homeowner left like a super cool like tree design on your place, like on your wall.
Oh my God.
Which I've never seen before in a place before. And you put like pictures of everyone around it too, like branching off, and I don't know, that was pretty cool too.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, like for context for our listeners, right, like my house is just painted like, you know, white all on the inside, but the previous homeowner was like one of those love laugh love type of people and had these like stickers all around the house. So it was like wall stickers, and one of them in my kitchen is like a big tree, and it says the best things in life aren't things, right? And I thought it was really corny, but I just embraced it, and we decided to stick like pictures of all my friends and family on the tree. And so that's one of the decisions I made as a homeowner that I'm still proud of.
No, that's actually nice, like that you embrace that. I would have been so quick to just paint over that shit and take it off.
Yeah. I would have ripped that off the wall.
yep.
But also, I'm also a
hoarder, so.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, I feel like I don't have enough people, like friends and family, that it could fill up that tree.
Shut up! Yeah. No,
Vincent, this is a very popular
dude,
guy.
You can plaster your room and AJ's room with your friends and family.
Well, I can't.
Yeah, popular guy.
I can't put Joe Biden on it. I bet you had Joe Biden. Joe Biden.
You could. Yeah, you just won't be in it, but that's okay.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be weird. I feel like even if I was related to Joe Biden, I wouldn't put Joe Biden on my tree.
That was just unnecessary, right?
Yeah. Going back to the balcony story, that something happened to my neighbor like that, where the dad wasn't home or something. The mom was home. She was in the deck, but the deck, it was one of those from upstairs. So that there's no stairs coming down. So she got locked out, but her kid was inside the house still. So she jumped, actually.
Oh my god.
She didn't have her phone. She didn't have her phone. So she jumped off and came to our house. Yeah.
What the?
She's wait, fine. How high was the jump?
It's like the where my upstairs deck is in my house, like that, like jumping from there down.
Dude, that's far. Wait,
that's pretty much. Fucking
that's like,
high.
That's like 10, 12 feet.
Yeah.
Wait, and she landed on her feet?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she jumped. I don't think so, but she was okay. Yeah.
Like when she came to your house, she was like normal?
Oh, I wasn't here for this. This was when we were in college, but my parents were telling me. Yeah.
That is crazy.
That is insane, actually.
Yeah, I think you just get desperate, weird. I guess, in that situation.
But yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, you do.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Speaking of people getting stuck places, hey, not like that.
Hey, yo. Stepbrother?
Well, like,
in unit laundry? What? In unit
stepladder. Well, like, recently, like, I came back from Nova. I was, like, tired, and I got off the bus, and from the bus that brings me from Nova to New York, there's like another like obviously like commuter bus that takes me from like near the bus stop to my apartment essentially. And it was cold and I was waiting there, and sometimes the buses are just like super you know, unreliable. So I was sitting at this bus stop waiting for like 20 minutes or so, and I just couldn't even see it when I looked down the street. And so then I was like, okay. And then the sign updated and it was like, yeah, it's gonna be here in 33 minutes. And I was like, okay, fuck that. And so instead I walked basically like 16 blocks with my suitcase and my backpack all the way back to my apartment.
Why did you call Uber?
I mean, no, because at that point it's like 25 minute walk. I'm like, I could just do this.
Yeah, but you said you were tired and you're carrying your luggage.
I was just like, I didn't want to pay for another Uber after paying like.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. You told me I would pay for you, man.
No, shut the fuck up.
You would have paid somebody to drive up, say, for
hey, they fuck you, Drew. Yeah, yeah. Like, fucking fuck you, Drew. You thought I was helping you?
Anyway, I walk all the way back to my apartment, and I'm like, at the very least, like, thank God, like, I have an elevator in my apartment that, like, can bring me up. Like, that's literally what I was thinking. As soon as I get back to the apartment, elevator broken. The first time I ever seen it in a year of living here, elevator broken, bruh. So
no,
I'm just like, fuck. And I carry my suitcase up four floors, which wasn't that bad. yeah, so then that was that. And then like later that week, someone came and fixed it. And then this past weekend, I was like, I had to go out to like pick something up. And I call the elevator. I'm like looking at my phone, and like the elevator is just like, it's just like not coming. Like I don't hear it, nothing. Like it's not opening. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the hell? And then I like look up off my phone. I'm like, where is this elevator? I'm like looking through like this tiny ass window, and there's two dudes just like in there, like stuck in there. And I was like, oh, what? And then
no.
One of the guys was like, hey, yeah, the elevator's, because I was like clicking the button, obviously. And I guess he had seen me, but I hadn't seen him. He's like,
elevator's broken, man. Yeah, the elevator's broken.
Hey, we're busy in here.
That's exactly what he said. And I was like, oh, shit. Sure. Like, are you guys okay? And he's like, yeah, yeah, we're good. And I was like,
yeah, just give me a couple minutes. I'll be
yeah. I was like, do you guys press the emergency button? And he's like, yeah, yeah, we press it. I was like, okay, well, I hope you guys are okay. I'll see, like, hope you guys get out soon, whatever. And I left and I went to go to the stairs. Like, while I'm coming down the stairs, there's this girl with, like, a suitcase and stuff. And she's, like, carrying it down the stairs. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, yeah, like, elevator's broken, right? It kind of sucks. Like, do you see the two dudes in there? And she's like, yeah, one of them is my boyfriend. And I'm like, oh. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, how long have they been in there? She had like a great like vibe about it. I think she also thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Well, she's like, I was like, how long have they been in there? And she's like, oh, like close to an hour now. And I was like, oh no, that's so
oh
bad.
My gosh.
Like, I was like, damn, dude. I hope you guys weren't like busy. And she's like, oh, actually,
wait, my flight's in like a couple hours.
No, literally, she was like, not flight, but she was like, we're moving out right now, and I just can't because they're stuck in there.
And then
it gets even worse because she's like, yeah, I feel so bad. Like, he really has to pee.
They gotta establish the corner room.
Yeah, and then she's like,
establish your corner.
And then I was like, oh, like, when are they gonna fix it? And she's like, yeah, well, I called the super. And I guess our super, like, I guess he, basically, I guess, I think he lives in New Jersey. So he was like an hour away.
Oh my God.
He was like an hour away, which is so bad. And then I was like, well, I know you're moving out, but like, hey, it was nice to meet you. And then I just left. By the time I came back, probably about an hour later, they were out and it was fixed. So,
oh, that's good.
Okay,
that's funny.
Yeah, but it was just a crazy turn of events, and it was like, yeah, it made me grateful to be myself, because I was like, that very well could have just been me, because I used the elevator earlier that morning, right? Like, I could have just been stuck in there all day, and I would have gotten so fucked. The fact that it happened while they're moving out, it sucks so much dick.
That's terrible.
I would be so mad.
Horrible.
Yeah.
At least you wouldn't miss your place.
Yeah, more than that, like, yeah. I'll fuck this place.
Your apartment's literally like, please don't go.
Imagine you're stuck there for so long, like you get past like the turnover like midnight, and then it's like, oh, your lease automatically renews because you're contracted.
But yeah, life humbles you in ways you never thought you would ever expect, bro.
Yeah, be careful with those New York elevators,
too. Yeah, bro. I'm actually, I do get a little bit nervous every time in the elevator now. I'm like, yeah, maybe I should take the stairs.
Yeah.
But yeah, is this like the first time in your life that you've like lived alone fully?
Yeah, fully alone. Yeah. I've always had roommates.
Yeah, and how are you finding that experience?
Great. I love it, man. I think it's easier for me because I'm so like online. So like I'm either busy and out and doing stuff with like Choi Wan or friends. And then when I'm home, I don't feel lonely because I can get on Discord and I have like a consistent group of friends that are on there. So I'm like constantly socializing when I want to. And then if I don't want to, like, I have...
You have a balcony outside that you can lock yourself out.
Yeah. Isolation. Think about jumping off.
maybe that's, you should cool, do though, that. Yeah. Maybe you should jump off once just to know that you can.
Wait, what?
If the situation ever arises. Whoa.
What do you prove that you can? What that's what? No.
If you rappel down, right? Like, if you, I'm sure you can climb down. There's no way you can't climb down.
I need
down
a proof of concept that I can escape.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what a real homeowner does. They test their ability to escape from their house. So
like, I'm limit testing. I kick down my windows, like my neighbor's window downstairs as I'm rappelling. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm limit testing right now.
I feel like a better idea is to just make a copy of your key and leave it outside.
Dude, a better idea is to just get rid of this stupid doorknob, man. Why does it need to lock like that? If it's locked, just tell me you're locked, man. That's so simple. Don't be locked. Duh.
Wait, he's actually so mad. That's so funny.
I mean, I would. Dude, he got locked up in 3 hours.
I would be too, but I just like, it's so much.
Actually, passion. I don't think I've ever seen Vincent like.
Oh my God, like, we should make it a challenge. We should make it a challenge. Like, next time you guys come down and you want to hang out, you know, the rest of us can be in here, one person at a time does the Vincent challenge. Hang out on the balcony for 3 hours and try to get in. I'll give you one. Oh my God, I had to cut up my driver's license, by the way, when I was trying to get back in.
Oh,
I forgot about that. How did you cut it up?
That was I didn't have my wallet. I only had my phone, which had the card two holder. Metal credit cards, which can't be cut. And then I had my driver's license.
Yeah.
And I was so desperate and not wanting to kick down my door and replace everything around my door that I was like, okay, I'm going to try to like finagle this like doorknob, whatever, with this card. It wasn't working and my card was splitting, which my card was my driver's license. And so I was looking online and it said sometimes you have to like cut it into a shape that will help you get it out. And so I got so desperate that I did that with like a fucking rusty nail that was outside.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Hey man, you did more than I would have done in that situation. Yeah. And I respect you
for that. That's crazy.
So we're just going to.
It was insane.
We're just going to gloss over the fact that you illegally drove to pick up food then?
Who said I drove?
Oh. I think you did.
I remember I didn't go out and get any food, bro. I made it all at home.
Oh, right.
But what did we use to get into Harsh's room in college?
We used my old Top Golf card.
Top Golf card.
It all comes full circle.
I know it's a lot easier of a lock though, Vincent, than your
Sure.
Context, Vincent. We were just breaking into Harsh's room when he went to go visit Amrita because we're mad that he wasn't spending time with us. We just fuck with this
you
shit.
You guys would fuck with his stuffies.
Yeah, yeah.
With the stuffies, yeah. Yeah. Wait, oh, there's plural. How many of them?
Yeah, my favorite.
We did a lot of really minor shit.
Yeah, we just put the chair on its side or something. I mean, that's why he locked it. It's just stupid, annoying. But the one time,
wait, actually, you guys would do this?
Yeah, they're like, actually,
yeah.
Oh, like he would come back to his chair. No, usually we would do
one small thing each time, and then like, yeah, that's why he locked it when he went away for this weekend.
But the funniest one is like one time. I love this story so much. We probably said it 10 times on this podcast, but it's so funny. We took his mouthwash and we put it on top of like, you know, the little like the lamps above the lights. Mirror. Yeah,
the light fixture.
Like we put it on top of there, thinking that he would see it anyway. But it's just like funny that it's up there. And then, like later that week, he bought mouthwash. what did Christian say?
I didn't buy it. I had extra in the cabinet, so I just took that one out because I thought I ran out before I left.
Yeah. So he opened a new one.
So he came over and was like, oh, shoot, I'm out of mouthwash.
Because like after a couple days of like being there, didn't you ask him how's the mouthwash?
How'd you get the mouthwash?
Yeah. And Harsh was like, how'd you know?
How'd you know? I ran out. I was like, you didn't look above your light. You're like, what?
To be fair, I don't think I would look.
No, it's true.
I mean, it was high enough to be
out of view, but like not high enough to be where like you probably.
But like, you wouldn't be thinking about it. I feel like.
Yeah.
Unless by off chance, like you just look up and you're like, oh shit, there's mouthwash up here. Why is it up here? Like I'm never looking up there. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, if I ever come to New York and you're not there, Tarun, like we're gonna do that.
Once Harsha buys a house, like that's the first thing we're gonna do. We're actually gonna break into his house and like do some really small annoying shit.
Imagine like he just buys out. We're not in that city. We all fly in just for one day.
That's what I'm talking about. No, I don't want
to break into his house and then leave and then don't even hang out with him. Just leave. Just go back to our
house. I'm not going to see him. I'm just
going to do it. I'm calling Amruta. I'm telling her to leave one of the windows unlocked. We're going in. Home invasion, bro. We got it.
Yeah. It's bonding for everyone except Harsha.
What time did you guys put my basketball shoe up there, too?
I don't remember that.
I found that one though because I was like, I'm missing a basketball shoe. So,
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that, but that checks out. So,
you also put random alarms on the Google Home, but you didn't.
We really terrorized you, bro.
Yeah.
No reason.
Yeah. I think when we broke into your room, the idea was that we'd put post-it notes or something on like everything around like in his room.
Yeah.
But then Harsha the bastard ended up coming back early the next day. So we spent a lot of time trying to get into his room the night before, but it took us so long that like it was already like pretty late by the time we got in. So we're like, okay, we'll get up. Well, Lily said we'll get up at a good like early time tomorrow just so we can fucking.
We got up at like 7:30 or 8, and then at that point, Harsha had already sent a text in the chat like, "Yo, boys, I'm coming home like early, like at like,
can you make
like
9
or 10 or something, some shit." And we're like, "Oh, what the fuck? He's coming so early! Like, do we have time to go pick up the post-it notes and put them on?" We didn't. But
yeah.
I wish that happened, bro.
He foiled your plans. Yeah, man.
How'd you know? It's like he has like security cameras in there.
It's been enough fun for these guys.
Were you impressed that we got in?
Yeah.
I was kind of glad because I didn't have to take out my key to unlock the
door. Fuck, man. We made it easier for him.
Fuck. We efficientized life. No. I feel like you kind of would have liked the post-it notes. At least in I feel like I kind of would have liked it. For a little bit.
You would have been. You guys really care about me.
Wait, why would you like it?
Because it would be like a cool design for a little bit.
What?
What do you mean? It would be like a call.
You would keep it?
No, I mean maybe for a little bit. I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but you need to take it down by yourself.
That's like Christmas. No, that's fair. I mean that's the part that I.
But it wasn't on my wall. It was gonna be like on everything in the room, just like one post-it note.
Wait, what? I thought we were just gonna cover all the walls with it. No,
I thought we were gonna do it on like everything, like the wall, like the stuff like in it, like his like drawer, like the stuff on his table, everything.
Yeah.
No, never mind then. Yeah, that I wouldn't have liked, but. If it was like a, you know, a tasteful accent wall, maybe, you know.
We should have the cup filled with water on the ground one. That shit's fucked. That shit's so fucked.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the OG like YouTube prank days. Did you ever play any good pranks on your friends?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like I have, but like not significant enough where I like can remember.
Remember, it, yeah.
I think, okay, the one like roommate prank that we had going on consistently, I mean, it was kind of sus, but we'd just get like...
Don't introduce it like that.
One of our roommates would just go and hide under the covers of the other roommate. And so he would come back and lay down bed, and then that guy would just be in there. And it was like almost consistent, right? Exactly. Wait, that's so... like, you're like, hey, you might like it.
So. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Under the cover is crazy.
So crazy, bro.
This wild.
But yeah, I think that was probably it.
We'll have to come up with something for whenever one of our friends buys a house next. Some sort of grand plan.
Initiation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of like a housewarming, just be like a house prank.
A house prank. Something nice. I have the sticky notes for it, so.
Let's go.
Jesus Christ.
We got our supplier.
Stage one complete. Vincent, you talk about, you know, we talked about your decor in your apartment. One of the things that has, I say is a focal point in your decor is your shelf near your television that holds all of your Pokemon cards.
Oh, God.
Now,
oh, God.
During your birthday last year / housewarming celebration, you said, this will be my last birthday with anything Pokemon related, I believe. Mm-hmm. The words that came out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to divulge your age, but this is, I would say, past the prime Pokemon age. I mean, I would include myself as past the prime Pokemon age as well. So, you know, but kind of give us a brief overview of like how long you've had Pokemon things, like how you got into it. Like, who's your favorite Pokemon? You know, how you kept all right, up with like, the...
First off, we're redefining the prime Pokemon age, actually.
There's
dozens of us, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But to go into my Pokemon stuff, so, yeah, as a kid, it was my first, like, video game that I ever played, mm-hmm. and I've loved it. It's become like it was my whole personality for a while. But I still try to keep it like kind of low key. But yeah, I also had like a few Pokemon cards growing up as a kid, but like also my parents weren't trying to spend money on that. Like they right. were more focused on getting stupid stuff like groceries.
Idiot.
It's school supplies, like whatever, man.
Get over it.
So I was quite deprived growing up. Any Pokemon cards I had were either like handed down or like a very rare treat. So then the Pokemon boom of 2020 happened, and I had adult money and decided to spend money on the cards that I couldn't spend as a kid, and replenished and more than replenished what could have been my Pokemon collection. So now I have a shelf full of a ton of cardboard with printed Pokemon. Yes, it's great. But you know, it's fun. It's nice. Yeah. I try to keep it to one section. It's nice to kind of like keep in touch with that side of myself. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was a game that was there for me for like my whole life, man. Yeah. Like, Pokemon never stops making games. So it's been there for a lot of my life. And I can't count how many hours I have on like the countless Pokemon games. But yeah, I mean, favorites. I have a binder where some of my personal favorites are. Mm. And I think two of my favorites would be Lapras and like Scyther. So some of the OGs.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're kind of, you know, joking about it, but it is a normal like pastime or hobby. So I feel like let's take the pressure off a little bit, especially in our age bracket. Like I agree. Like Pokemon was probably the first real game that like I sunk like hundreds of hours into or whatever. So it was definitely a common theme for people to grow up, I think, around what we did. So let's not, you know, make you seem like a nonce around here, but
no one was saying that.
yeah, totally.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Christian. I didn't
hear
you before.
But what do you think is the Pokemon game you played the most?
Played the most? Actually, that's a really hard question to answer because I played everything so much. And it's harder with the older games because I've replayed them over and over again, right? So like I can't tell how many times I played them. Emerald is probably the one I played first.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't get enough of that game, man. It's prime Pokemon.
It was the first one where they like combined the two, like, because obviously people that don't know like Pokemon, you get like a bunch of like creatures more or less, and then like each series has like two versions, and like you can have like some you can get in one, you can't get in the other, but like this was like a third of this of the series, and like it combined the two games kind of together and like made its own storyline. So it was like the first time they did that, and it was like mind-blowing in like 2006 or whatever it was.
Super mind-blowing. And plus they had the Pokemon animations, which is so dumb, but it was like the thing that like your Pokemon would get sent out and it'd do some stupid shit, like it'd raise its arms and you'd be like, oh shoot, it's alive.
Yeah, life was so much simpler back then.
So much simpler, man. That game was amazing back then. So definitely that.
Yeah.
Not Pokemon Go, man.
Pokemon.
That was I forget, like summer 2016 was like literally defined by like Pokemon Go, bro. Yeah, that shit was
popping. That was the summer of orientation and all the orientation leaders. Because I was there for the summer to get ready for that. And so it blew up and I would just walk around Terrace View spinning Pokestops. It was literally world peace. Like all the orientation leaders were bonding over like their Pokemon Go. It was great.
Pokemon Go to the polls.
It's crazy because like
just chilling
last fall I was like going to the park where I play basketball at, and there was like a group of like 25 people all together with their phones out, and I'm pretty sure I overheard someone say like something about Pokemon, and I was like, holy fuck, people are like, there's still like
people still doing it. Play it, dude. A lot of people
No, it's surprising. They do a lot of events. Like, I have friends who went up to New York because they have Pokemon Day events up there, which are like crazy. They literally like were saying, oh yeah, we didn't eat or drink anything all day. We were just spinning and catching Pokemon, and then we had a big meal at the end. I was like, you guys are insane. Whoa. That is so crazy. But also mad respect.
Yeah, man.
Do you guys have any other like Pokemon experiences from your ground? Like how big of it was? How big was it in your life when you were growing up?
When you were young. How big was it when you were young? Yeah. Answer your question right now for sure.
How big was it?
Hey, yo.
Yeah, I was mad.
Dude, this is definitely...
Speaking of getting stuck.
He doesn't fit in the elevator. This is definitely the most sus episode we've filmed in a long time, bro.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's questions have had some subtle means, subtle messages subtle sus. Behind it.
Sussle?
Plus to go to Christian's question, well, I guess what his intended question was.
I don't want to know, man.
I feel like I didn't actually play Pokemon that much growing up. I feel like I kind of missed out. I think I was more of like a... I was like a Mario ho. I literally bought every single Mario game possible.
Mario ho?
Yeah, I was Mario ho. But I played like Pokemon here and there. I think I was more into like Yu-Gi-Oh. I guess that wasn't really... I guess that's more like card-based than like the game.
As long as you didn't say Digimon, then that's cool.
Digimon, no. But yeah.
Harsha, do you want to tell the story of how we got, like, I guess essentially pulled over playing Pokemon Go?
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This was, like, we wanted to hunt Pokemon in the summer at night, like, after dinner. So one of our friends, like, drove from Herndon to pick us up, and we drove around catching stuff. And then we ended up in some random neighborhood, and we just see, like, a bunch of cop cars in the neighborhood, like, going to a house. First they were behind us, so we thought they were coming after us, so we pulled over and they went past us and went to some house. I don't actually remember what happened to
them. It was like a robbery or something that was going on, but it's crazy that we saw that during
Oh my god, Team Rocket.
Yeah, that was one story. The other story I was talking about when we were in Herndon, we pulled up to that building. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
So like
We end up in some random parking lot, and then like the, I guess, parking lot police or sheriff.
Parking lot police.
Part of that building.
Hey, I'm bored of the parking lot police.
Well, it's like,
no, basically it was
like, hey, you guys can't be here.
Yeah, it was like I don't think we realized at the time, only after we pulled over did we maybe realize that these buildings that we were like near were like either like some corporate something that we shouldn't just not be there at night. Mm-hmm. And it was a little sus because we're driving like slow and like back and forth and shit to try to fucking catch the picture or whatever bullshit. So it's like security guard or police officer, one of the two, this menacing looking guy like comes up to the driver, to our friend Andrew, and he's like oh,
did you catch him too?
He's like, oh, like, what are you guys doing here? And we're like, oh, we're playing Pokemon Go. And he didn't even ask like, what is that? But we're like explaining like, yeah, there's like these, animals that we're
trying to catch. I thought you were probably on drugs.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a shit. Like, get the fuck out of here. It was like not early either. It was like probably 1 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Oh my god, it was late. Dude. It was late, late.
But the fact that like I just remember so vividly like Andrew like explaining like what the game is to the cop, which is such like a meaningless thing to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just so funny.
That is so funny. And did he let you guys off?
He did, like, yeah. He was just like, oh, there's just some dumb.
No, he actually downloaded the app. Yeah. You got a quick job. I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get him, bro.
You get out. Quick job. He's a Pokemon League champion now. All thanks to True.
Yeah, he actually gave us a police escort after to find all the Blastoise and whatever. No, man, that was so crazy. I can't believe we did some stupid shit like that.
I mean, you had to do what you had to do to get those Pokestops, man. Brutal out there.
Oh, man. There was always a Snorlax that showed up at the end of my street, and I'd walk down to the end of the street, and by the time I did, it would disappear. And that happened like 4 times, and I was like,
this is why I don't walk.
I was so sad. Yeah, exactly.
And the servers were so bad in that summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good place to end for today. Vincent, we definitely want to thank you for coming on. This is like such a great episode. We talk about so many cool things, and I'm glad you're doing so well at everything. Is there anything that you want to leave the viewers with? Any message or anything?
Oh, any message? Just a happy Lunar New Year, you guys. Yeah, thank you to the regular boys for having me on the show. I love coming to this. It's like a nice way to catch up with everybody and just see what's going on. So thank you guys for having me. And yeah, thank the viewers for listening to us and listening to us yap.
No, we're being
yeah, yappers. I hope you guys got something. I hope you got something good out of it.
Yeah, no, I feel like this was very, very knowledge based episode. A lot of learning for all of us. Mm-hmm. Speaking of learning, if you don't know already, you should know that we post Instagram posts on @aninterestingdiscussion on Instagram, and we post stuff about our podcast episodes, like who's coming on and what interesting other snippets we have going on. Also, if you didn't know, because this is a knowledge episode, we post our podcast to all Spotify platforms, such as Spotify.
Spotify platforms.
Spotify platforms.
And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.